You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price, the Million Man.
This is Don West here, and I'm telling you, Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast, baby. Make sure that's the one you check out, because, buddy, like me, they're the real deal, baby.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just let me know. You need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
This is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, a.k.a. Shane T. Boy, the baddest champion you've ever seen, boy. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
What up, though, everybody? This is Kyle, and you are back watching, listening, consuming, whatever the fuck you're doing to be watching this right now. You're back on Knockouts and Three Counts, and things clearly didn't go to the original plan, as they sometimes do. That's why they say in wrestling, there's a thing called card subject to change, and today is card subject to change. But luckily for us, there's plenty for us to talk about. So, Corey, go ahead and throw your social media out, and yeah, all that good shit.
There, didn't realize I was muted.
I can't hear Corey.
For some reason, when we went live, it muted me. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Damn, I can't hear Corey.
I hear him just fine. I hear both of you just fine. I hear both of you just fine.
Here, I'm going to leave and rejoin.
I don't think it's you. I think it's him.
I can't hear anybody.
We're hearing you just fine, man. So it's got to be on your end. And I hear Corey just fine.
I'm just trying to fix it. All right, can you hear me still? Somebody say something?
Yeah.
We can hear you the whole time.
I'm aware, dude. It's got to do with my microphone, but
are you back now? Can you hear us?
I can hear you, but my microphone's not plugged in. That's the thing.
Right. We'll have to make do.
Either way, Corey. Yeah, get with it. Let's get with it. All right. There's plenty of. Tell me what your thoughts are now that we've had time to digest it. Tell me what your thoughts are on UFC 257.
I wish I would have got a chance to rewatch it, but yet again, my pay-per-view still doesn't want to work. It says that I didn't purchase it, so I don't know if they refunded me or something or what, but it's saying that I never purchased it. So I actually tried to watch it back yesterday and was unsuccessful. So from what I was able to see, though, and from how my feelings kind of sit on it, is kind of the same on the night, man. Dustin's the uncrowned champ. You kind of see him going all over socials saying as much that he's a young crown champ. And I don't know. I agree. I mean, I feel like that fight very well, just on the fact of the name power on Conor's side alone, could have been for a title. I agree with the fact that it wasn't, but I also agree with the fact that Dustin's a clear number one contender. And if the champion's gone, uncrowned champ he is. I would love to see him versus Du Bronx next, but other than that, man, what's your thoughts?
So there's a few things here. Number one, I still feel like that's a cop-out bullshit answer by Dana in the post-fight press conference. Like, for those of you who are watching in the live feed, I'd love to know, you know, what your thoughts are on that, because I watched the press conference. Dana is saying that it's mainly a West Coast issue. That's what ESPN's saying. But dude, I know so we both know so many people. Hell, there were three people in the house that we were watching the fight in that were having issues with, you know, their stream. So I don't know if it was as far as the fights itself, I have no arguments, dude. Like it was as far as the fights itself, dude, I have no argument whatsoever. I thought the co-main event and main event more than lived up to the expectations that I had for it. I just, like you said, I mean, for me, it was the connectivity issues and all that kind of stuff. You know, that wasn't the only big news. You know, that wasn't the only big news of the weekend. As we mentioned in the video that we just dropped this morning, it was also released yesterday morning that WWE sold their streaming rights for the WWE Network to Peacock TV. So now what that means is if you're a WWE Network subscriber, they haven't really laid out quite how that's gonna work, I guess is the best way to put it. They haven't said how they're going to move you over, but they said if you already have the $9.99 subscription, there's two different ways you can do it, because for those who have Peacock, no, it's only $5 a month. So if you get the $5 a month thing, you'll still be able to watch everything. But if you pay the $10 like you've been paying for WWE Network, you get without any commercials. So there's some kind of incentive. There's some kind of incentive as to what you get for getting the WWE Network. So I'd love to, before we jump into everything with UFC 257, since you didn't get to be on the video with me and Ken, what are your thoughts on that? And I'm going to throw a few different points and I want to hear your thought on each part of it. This presents a few really interesting situations, because along with them going to Peacock, the NBC Sports Network is getting closed down too, which means now hockey is going to have to find a new home. And according to what it's being reported, it looks as though it's going to be, it looks as though that they're going to be going to USA, and Wednesday is widely considered hockey night. So that then means, then what happens to the head-to-head war between AEW and NXT? Does that mean NXT will move to Peacock? But Peacock has since come out and said that they're not going to go to Peacock, only the replays will play there. So I don't know, man. This makes a lot of interesting stuff, quite frankly. Although I like the idea of a Wednesday night war, I would really like to see NXT kind of get off Wednesdays, because I would like to hope that that would mean that wrestling fans could finally get their head out of their ass and stop. Oh, well, which one do you like better? AEW is better. No, NXT is better. So with the things that I've mentioned, what are your thoughts on this deal? $1 billion.
So I think the move is a smart move. I think on both NBC's part and WWE, because AEW, God, every time I go to say that so fast, I just mumble.
Double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-double-
access to some fans that they wouldn't normally have, of course, to the level that they would where they were buying their way into a subscription service just for WWE. So now they'll have that. They'll have the people that are more the casuals that'll be the occasional viewer and stuff like that off there. And then it works out well for NBC because they get a large wealth of content. I mean, granted, it cost them a pretty penny. But that being said, I mean, it's obviously worth it on their end.
Think of it this way. I mean, you got to think of it in this sense, right? Here's why it, to me, it's smart for NBC. So everyone wants to shit all over the fact, oh, it's wrestling, it's wrestling, it's wrestling. Like, everybody's got just this negative. It sucks, dude. There's such this negative scope on wrestling, and I really don't understand why. Because they shit on people so much for coming from wrestling, but arguably the biggest movie star in all of TV is from wrestling.
Yeah, but so, there's a difference, though. Like when people think of
wrestling... Well, my point is, why can't they be just as good actors as somebody else? It's already been proven with guys like John Cena, him. There's multiple that I can name that have done well. And Edge was all through the whole fucking show of Vikings. Like, I mean, come on, man. Like, these aren't shitty roles. Like, I mean, I feel like we're in 2020. At what point do we get over this stigma of... Oh, they're just wrestling guys. When in reality, you say what you want. But as we've spoke about on this show before, WWE, say what you want, has one of the biggest social media followings combined across social medias, bigger than ESPN, bigger than any name you really want to name. If I'm not mistaken, they have the most subscribers of any YouTube channel too. So, I mean, say what you want, but...
Okay, I mean... It's just, there's such a negative connotation because when you think of wrestling, like nowadays, especially the names and the image, not even necessarily the names. I feel like that's maybe part of the issue is that there isn't so many names. So when people think of wrestling now, they think of the dude in spandex underpants jumping off the top rope. You know what I mean?
I hear that.
And that connotation's hard for a lot of people to get over. I mean, even myself included, you know, as I've started to get more involved in the wrestling and stuff, of course, doing a half and half podcast, there's certain connotations for me that are even hard to get over. Like you'll see people try to, I don't know if it's like the cheese factor of it all or like the Machado, I guess you could say, like people want to be freaking Mr. Biggie Bads, but I don't know, man. It's hard to put my thumb on it, but yeah, I do feel that same kind of.
I don't think they get a fair shake. I don't think they get a fair shake as athletes either.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
I would argue that if you put some of the raw athletes, fuck wrestling, forget all of that. If you take some of the raw athletes that you see inside a wrestling ring. Put them in any other sport. Yeah, some may not do as well, but I would go as far to say on pure athleticism alone, there's not too many professions that you can find people that are that multifaceted.
Yeah.
Just my personal opinion, because here's the difference with wrestling and MMA, right? So yeah, obviously you got to be able to be physical in both, but there's also, the entertainment side of it too. You have to be able to do all of it. So, I mean, to be able to put all of those into, you know, one big package like that, to me, like I said, to me, that's why they're underrated.
I look at it from a different way, right? Because that's what makes, like, the MMA characters and stuff so interesting to me is because a lot of times, a name that I love to give, I know she's on a bit of a down streak, but she's still in the UFC. If I'm not mistaken, she actually has a fight book coming up, but Hannah Cyphers, girl is completely silent. Even when she does win, she says like three squeaky words over the mic, in her, you know, in Octagon, interviews and stuff like that. That being said though, she's still a very lovable character in MMA. I mean, you see her, win, lose, draw. She goes out there and tries her absolute best. And I feel like you don't see the shy, quiet types that just are like, there's something about that watching somebody try to go outside of their shell, not necessarily in talking or being over the mic or something like that, but just in the performance alone. You know what I mean? There's a certain aspect to that that I feel like that's part of what makes MMA so entertaining, honestly.
I agree. But see, that's what also I would argue to play devil's advocate. I would say that's what makes guys – this brings into another point that we need to talk about on this show. I think that's what sets apart guys like Conor McGregor because say what you want, Conor McGregor does pro wrestling better than half the pro wrestlers today, but the very thing that you're saying is why you like MMA better is the very reason why Conor McGregor sticks out from all those people because he's able to market himself that way. And that brings up another good question that I, for those of you who are watching the feed, I want to know, and Corey, I'll get your thoughts on it too, because it's another good point that was brought up on Monday Night Raw last night. You know, it's now been announced after the badass promo that they did last night. First of all, God, do I miss the guys that could cut promos when we were younger, dude. Like, I feel like guys today can't, dude, they could talk you in. All you'd have to do is see those motherfuckers talk shit, and you wanted to see what was going to happen. I feel like you don't see that as much today, whether that's in MMA or wrestling. But last night on Raw, Edge came back. Edge hasn't been around because he got hurt. As you remember, Corey, he returned at the Royal Rumble and had one of the biggest surprises in years with him coming back. He announced last night in his promo, because him and Randy Orton had been going back and forth for quite a while, Edge cut one of the most real promos I've ever heard, and that's what made it so awesome. For any of you guys that are watching in the feed, if you watched it, please let me know what you think of this promo. So in the promo, Edge talks about, he goes, 10 years ago, I won the world title at WrestleMania. A week later, I had to give it back and retire because I broke my neck. He goes, and I had to sit for 9 years with, that's how I had to retire. I won the world title. Yeah, I get to go out as the world champion, but I can't even show what I can do in that match because I got hurt. And he didn't even know he broke his neck. So he's like, I'm coming back. Yes, I'm entering the Royal Rumble, but this is more than just winning the Royal Rumble. This is to be able to write my path on the way that I want to go out. And so for me, that's the kind of shit that pulls me in. As a guy who is a lifelong wrestling fan, to me, that's the kind of shit that I want to see. But that's where my question comes in. First of all, what are your thoughts on, you know, Edge being, you know, seeing a guy like Edge come back, number one? And number two, do you think that the use of having to use guys like Edge is really doing more harm than good than it can to WWE, because they're focusing on them? Because also on this card for the world title, you now have Goldberg coming back to face Drew McIntyre. Now, every time that Goldberg has come back in the last 5 years, it's basically been either to face The Undertaker, then he faced Roman Reigns for the SmackDown title, then he faced, now he's facing Drew McIntyre, the Raw champion. So a lot of people are pissed that he's coming in to get these chances. Now, the way they built it up, it seems like, you know, it could be like a passing of the torch thing, which if that's how they go with it, I'm okay. But I guess my question for you, Corey, is do you think that this is going to hurt them more, or do you think the nostalgia will help? And at the same hand, what are your thoughts on the other part of that question?
Well, you essentially took the words right out of my mouth, honestly. I think it'll do more, a lot more harm than good, to be honest with you, because all it's going to do is it's going to get the occasional person like my age or my age bracket and older to get the occasional view or something. Oh, you mean that guy that I used to love is coming back? Oh, Edge. Oh, you mean Goldberg? Oh, you mean the, like these old nostalgic names. Don't get me wrong, they still have a place in wrestling. They absolutely do. But to be like the headlining top act of the night, and it seems like this is a very like repeating thing too. It's not like they just do it once a year or something like that. They'll have like a Legends night or something like that, because that would be cool. But no, it seems like
but the thing is, even when they did a Legends night, they just did a Legends night. And the problem with the Legends night, see, Legends night used to be cool because you never knew who they were really going to bring back. But shit, at this point, I would argue that Legends night has gotten to the point where you already know.
Is it just become like senior rec hall at this point? Because like everybody's already.
Well, I wouldn't go quite that far, but at the same time, dude, like there's not as much surprise to it. Like, I don't know if, so I know you watched Joe Rogan's podcast, listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, whatever. Did you get to listen to the one with The Undertaker?
I did not. I watched the clips on it, but since he's made his,
did you watch the clip where, did you get to see the part where he talks about why he thinks there's the disconnect with the new guys today versus back in his day?
No, I did not.
He said that back in his day, they were actually men. He goes, you walk into a locker room now, like he was basically hating on guys because a lot of guys are playing video games and all that kind of stuff. And here's the thing. Back in the day, now a lot of this has to do with WWE too. Like, full disclosure, and for all of you guys who are watching, we've got a member of WWE's creative coming on to come talk with us real, real soon, along with a really dope guest for next week. So I need you to stay tuned so I can let you know who that's going to be. But he was talking about it, and it's just like, here's the thing too. A lot of what you're getting now is canned bullshit. Like somebody's writing out what they want them to say. Yep. When guys like Stone Cold and guys like The Rock, you might tell them, hey, obviously I want you to put over the pay-per-view. I want you to whatever. But you didn't tell them what to say. They went out there and ad-libbed, and that's what made it so great. And I feel like that's one of the biggest things. Checking in on the comments here on the live feed. So Philly B is chiming in talking about promo skills of the WWE New Age athletes aren't good. New Japan guys like Jay White and Kenta are amazing. Only guys nowadays is Adam Cole. He said Goldberg is just so overrated and needs to retire. Phil, I'm not against that one either. Like, I don't mind seeing Goldberg come back if it's done in the right context, but just bringing him back to face the champion every time without like a story or a real beef or something. Because here's the thing. The thing with Drew McIntyre didn't even make any fucking sense, because that whole show when Goldberg first came back, Randy Orton is going through the whole arena fucking up all the legends. This was on Legends Night. He went through the whole arena, whole show, fucks up all the legends that are in the arena. But then Goldberg comes out and calls out the champion and goes, you're a disrespectful punk. Now, wait a minute. It wasn't Randy Orton the one that was going after all the legends? See, this is where the disconnect comes. Go ahead.
All right. So my real complaint, kind of to jump back to what I was saying earlier, my biggest complaint, man, is like, how are you going to give these new guys the shine that they actually need to be able to build the names that you want in the future without giving them the exposure that they need? I feel like you putting them up against these older guys, people are just going to go in there either A, rooting for the older guys, or B, looking at it as more of a sideshow than what it already is, I guess you could say. That's where I feel like that's something they used to be very good at, is like when I was,
everybody was doing something. Even the lowest guy had a story.
Well, not only that, right? But it was like the constant revolution of the door. Like, it was like somebody would be popular for 2-3 weeks, maybe a month or two, and then they would make their way through the exit, and then 4 months later they would be back in the entrance, and then they would get the shine, and then it would revolve around, and it would keep everybody.
Well, that's because back then you had long-term storylines. It wasn't like, oh, yep, you guys fought for 3 weeks and let's fight at the pay-per-view. Shit was dragged out. Like, you wouldn't see guys fight for a fucking year, dude.
But like, see, you, all right, is that just the new age generation of everything?
It's the, well, so Vince has come,
be like, you know,
quicker. Well, that's the thing. Vince, here's the thing. I used to think that it was all Vince. Self-admittedly, I used to think that that was all Vince, but wrestling fans have fully proven to me at this point that they don't have the patience for a long, they bitch that they want long-term stories. But then when, okay, here's a perfect example. I was listening to Busted Open again this morning. They were talking about the segment from last night where Lacey Evans is basically hitting on Ric Flair to try to get ahead on Raw. And there's no indentation. There's not, it's not like a sexual thing. You can tell that, like, yeah, she's flirting with him, but they're not making it like, you know, like it's even on that tip. But the fact that she's doing that when Charlotte is on Raw too, and arguably the greatest women's wrestler of all time, fans are bitching about the way that they use Ric Flair. Now, last I checked, correct me if I'm wrong. Philly B, you're in the comments. All you guys who are watching, please. I want to know what you guys think. But last I checked, was Ric Flair not known as the kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and he's having a hard time keeping the alligators down? Well, how can he, if he's got a 30-year-old girl who's married, mind you, is shooting her shot at Ric Flair while he's married, mind you, isn't that right into Ric Flair anyway? Isn't that like the dirtiest player in the game? Isn't that a nature boy thing? And here's another thing. Again, go back to the realism of shit. What better storyline than the promo that Charlotte cut? She goes, why would I be surprised? This coming from the man, you know, you're talking about all this money that Ric Flair's got. And she goes, well, yeah, Ric Flair's got all that money, but he never spent none of his money on his kids. That's the shit I'm talking about. That's the shit I'm talking about. Look at the face you just made. Yeah. You didn't even watch the segment.
Yeah. But that's the type of stuff you have to do to garner attention.
That's my point. We need to see more shit like that. But that's the exact thing that fans complain about. The exact same things that they say they want, long-term storylines, and you want stuff that leads to something. That's the kind of shit that leads to something. Why can't it be funny or stupid or something for a change if it fits? Something like that fits with Ric Flair's character. And the fact that it plays in to Charlotte's childhood, that's perfect.
Do you think this is because of the age of social media and stuff like that with, like, people have to, like, the Undertaker...
They need the instant gratification.
Well, no. All right, so the Undertaker made a very good point about this, that, like, in all his interviews and stuff like that, like, his first, I think he said, like, 10-plus years of playing the character of the Undertaker, he couldn't leave the house not being the Undertaker. He couldn't go
to
the grocery store. He couldn't go to a movie theater without being the Undertaker. Because, like... And nowadays, I feel like that's probably tenfold, because not only do you have to play that role when you do things, but you also have to play it at home in your home life while posting to your socials to gain the attention that way. So, like, do you think that's part of the reason, like, people aren't necessarily willing to allow promotions to be like, oh, he's a bad guy because, you know, he's a scumbag because he has four ladies and doesn't pay for his kit, you know, like.
I've got like two thoughts on that.
You know what I mean? Like that could, it.
Oh, it definitely has something to do with it. It has something to do with it. Definitely. And here's why I think that it does have something to do with it. Mm-hmm. It has something to do with it for the simple fact that before, when we were kids, dude, there weren't dirt sheets like that. And if there were, we didn't know about them like that. Or at least I didn't at the time. Once I found out about dirt sheets, yeah, I looked at them for a little bit, but we didn't have that as kids. You had to watch it next week to see what the fuck happened. You had to buy the DVD to see, you know, what we got. We didn't have the WWE Network to be able to just pull this shit up at a thing. And the other thing is, I think social media, obviously, kayfabe has been dead for a while. You know what kayfabe is, I assume, Corey. Yeah. Kayfabe has been dead for a while, but social media has fucked that up tenfold, because now... Like you just said, the Undertaker, you would have never saw him not in all black.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, you could be in all black, but all these people now, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because I, as a fan, like the documentaries that they come out with that show the insides to people's life. But now that you do that, you can't have that wall in between.
Yeah.
This is the Undertaker, and this is Mark Calloway. You can't do that when you start blurring the lines. So it's a double-edged sword. And the very things that I like, that I understand why they can't do it, but I don't think today's wrestling fan has the attention span for that. Since we're talking about go ahead.
Oh, I was just, I mean, like, that pretty much sums up the point I was exactly going to make there. Is just, it's interesting to see, like, since I've been starting to follow people that we've had on the show and stuff like that, and people that do interest me in the wrestling game, it's interesting to see, like, one of their posts will be like them in a death match. And then the next one's like, they're at a beach or something. And it's like, it's just such a, like, you know, like you said, it really breaks the kayfabe. It really does. Like, I don't know.
It does,
like,
but I mean, that's also what makes wrestling good though, that you can see a guy in a bunch of different scenarios.
Yeah.
Like on the indies, absolutely. On the indies, I don't have so much problem with it. It's a problem when we're talking about guys on TV where you can't build a character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's where I have an issue with it. And since we're talking about characters,
one quick point before you jump over into that. And one thing too that you used to see that I feel like you don't anymore because of that is, like, look at what Mankind did. It was like, you know, there was how many different iterations of him?
The three faces of Foley, damn it. And a fourth, if you count Mick Foley.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there used to be that kind of, like, okay, we'll play this role with you for 6 months, a year. We'll see how it plays out. If it doesn't play out, we'll kind of switch you into something that we think might work a little bit better. Now it seems like people are either like, this is me and this is who I am, and if I don't make it, I don't make it. But it seems like there's less adaptability as there used to be.
I think it's adaptability, but I mean, to be fair, at least when it comes to WWE, like, see, that's why you see the stark difference between like AEW and WWE, because AEW, they have a lot more freedom to be able to do what they want to do. Now, that's not to be saying that they don't have agents, and obviously everything's got to go through Tony Khan and all that, but it's different because you hear, if you listen to the interviews with the guys from AEW, you see that they have a lot more freedom to be able to do what they want, where WWE, once you get to the main roster, man, and even before you get to the main roster, but more so once you get to the main roster, you're essentially performing for one guy. You're performing for Vince McMahon. And if Vince McMahon may not get it or may not understand it, you know, maybe because he's an older guy. Now, everybody wants to say Vince is so out of touch. You got to remember, Vince is the guy that almost like pretty much reinvented wrestling. So say whatever the fuck you want about that guy. But without Vince McMahon, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about wrestling. So just saying. So before everybody wants to take a big shit on him, but you know, I mean, and here's the thing. People shit so much on wrestling, but again, to tie into our MMA roots, I was listening to Unlocking the Cage with Jimmy Smith today. And four different times, he's bringing up wrestling promos and he's bringing up how the emotion that was brought out of it. And again, obviously he was talking about Conor McGregor and the way that Conor McGregor has been able to use that to build his character.
Well, it's interesting.
Oh, wow. Right? Wow. Okay. Hold on. We both have been asked a question in the comments. This is an interesting one. Who do I think has the best promo in wrestling right now? Let's see. All right, if we're going across all promotions, if we're saying who, when they have the microphone, do I like to see talk the most? If we're going the best baby face pro, if we're going the best baby face promo, I think Cody Rhodes is one of the best baby faces in all of wrestling. I've said this for a very, very long time. So I guess if we're going best baby face promo, I'll say Cody Rhodes. If we're saying Eddie Kingston is a name that, damn it, that guy made his fucking name rise in 2020. He's a guy that our homies from Breaking Down the Ring, which if you check out our Royal Rumble special, which is going down this Thursday, will be live with me on Facebook talking about the Royal Rumble. But they have had Eddie Kingston on their show. And Eddie Kingston, when I say that I like promos that have the realism in them, nobody can make you feel his pain. Nobody can make you want to, you know, like want to see him either get his ass whooped or see him whoop somebody's ass. Because let me tell you, even though they've got him as a heel right now, dude, when they had that match between him and Moxley, you watched that match at Full Gear.
Yeah.
You said yourself, the promos themselves made you want to see them fight before the match ever started, right or wrong?
Correct.
Okay, then. That sums it up. That, for me, is why Eddie Kingston is most underrated. So, for me, I would say Cody Rhodes is the best babyface promo, I think. And I think Eddie Kingston, I guess, would be your best heel promo. Philly B, be sure to let me know who it is that you like to hear their promos. Corey, I'm going to throw that question to you, too. Now, since you're on MMA ilk, who is it that you like to hear talk shit? It could be pro wrestling. It could be MMA. Who do you like to hear talk
shit? I'm going to, of course, if we're talking heels, the biggest heel in all of the game, Colby Covington, the biggest heel of them all. I can't agree with most of the shit
he says. That guy jacks off wrestling so hard.
I know. I completely agree with you. And like I say, I can't agree.
If he says he doesn't, I don't give a fuck. If I ever get to interview him, I will tell him myself.
I will tell him myself. And he said, he just, if you're talking about garnering interest, whether it's to see him win or to see him get his ass kicked, heel side is 110% Colby Covington. Now, if we're talking baby faces, baby face Max Holloway. Hear me out on this one, right? He'll go in there. He'll do his interviews with Mini Blessed. He'll go on, hop on Facebook Gaming, do his Call of Duty streams, talk about how he hasn't watched fights, how he's barely training because of the COVID. He can't even get into the gym, yada, yada. And then he goes in the octagon and does that to Calvin Kattar.
Dog, I mean, that was a savage, bro. So that was a savage.
You want to talk about a promotion man of the year, daddest man in the UFC now that DC is retired, my man Max Holloway. What a beast, dude.
DC was the baddest man over Stipe?
Daddest.
Oh, I thought you said baddest. I was like, what?
You haven't watched enough Max Holloway. He's constantly calling out.
No, I do. I know what you meant. I thought I heard baddest. I'm like, what?
He's constantly calling him out, and he's challenging him for the daddest man on the planet. It's funny, man. He's so good on the mic, and he really lets it flow. And he's just, yet again, kind of like my man and Dustin Poirier. That was another person I highly weighed on, but I feel like Max kind of gets slept on his abilities on the mic, man. People love him. People love Mini Bless. That's for damn sure.
Well, we got some picks from the people tuning in live. Philly B said for him, the top ones for him is Karrion. So here's the thing. He said Karrion Kross and John Moxley. So here's the thing. Character-wise and, like, entrance-wise and, like, the feel of the whole thing, Karrion Kross has got, like, the dopest entrance in wrestling. I don't give a fuck who it is. With him and then having Scarlett come out with her being fine as hell like she is and having that, like, real evil ass, like, bro, I'm telling you, when we get off this, please go look at YouTube and watch their entrance. It's fucking sick. Based off the entrance alone, one of my favorite guys to watch. A promo, I don't know so much. Moxley, on the other hand, I agree 100% with Moxley. Like I just mentioned, Corey, who, you know, is still getting back into wrestling, said it himself. The promos that were cut between Moxley and Kingston were enough to make you want to see these guys fight. And then they got in there and beat the shit out of each other. So I have no problem with Moxley doing that. Hell, the man was able to throw in a surprise baby announcement in the middle of a promo and still sound like a badass doing it. He's like, I got nothing to lose. He's like, I have to get my belt back. I got a pregnant wife at home. I said, I got bills to, he goes, I got bills to pay. He goes, so I'm coming back to get my belt. So be ready. That's the shit I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the stuff that pulls you in. That's the shit that makes you want to see somebody fight. That's the thing that makes you buy a ticket and says, hey, I want to see this guy get his ass whooped. That's the thing that makes you tune into the next show. That's the thing that makes you buy that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Even though pro wrestling and MMA, as much as people would like to say they're so different, they're very much the same.
Well, they're both sports entertainment, right? One of them's heavier on the entertainment. One of them's heavier on the sport. Now with MMA, you actually don't need to cut promos. There's people that don't even speak English that are big names, like well over half of the fan base knows these people, like their whole backstory, and they can't even speak a word of English. So like I completely agree with you in that fact that they're both sports entertainment. There's no denying that. One of them, I just feel, is much more sports entertainment. One of them's more entertainment sports.
Well, there's no argument. There's no argument in that. But my point that I'm making is the ones that are able to use that entertainment factor, that's why you don't see as many stars in the UFC. If you had more guys that were able to grab that mic after they knocked somebody out or had a banger of a fight or a whatever and were able to get in there and grab that microphone and just tear that shit up, you'd have a lot more stars right now. Yep. Now, I don't know if they're given that time, you know, with the COVID thing after the fights and things, but dude, I mean, call it what you will. There you go. There's another name from when we were kids. Philly B coming in the clutch again. He said if he had a main roster pick that he thinks can go either way, and I agree with this fact in 110%, he said Randy Orton. I have no problem with that. Okay. Randy Orton, yeah, he was able to play a sadistic son of a bitch that made you want to see him get the hell beat out of him. When he punted Stephanie's head into the next week, when Triple H was handcuffed to the ropes, I think every wrestling fan in America wanted to see him get the shit beat out of him. Then you turn him to a baby face and everybody loves him. When he was 24 years old, the youngest world champion of all time, and then Triple H and them drop the thumbs down, everybody's like, well, damn, what happened? So when you can make people be that invested either way, that's the mark of somebody who's good on the mic. There's a few other things that I want to talk about on the MMA side of things.
Yeah.
So coming up February 6th, we've got the debut of Paige VanZant and Bare Knuckle FC. First of all, are you excited to see this fight? And how realistically do you think Paige VanZant's really going to do in this fight?
So, complete fight degenerate here. I absolutely love Bare Knuckle. I said that when we had Josh Burns on. I don't know if some of you guys took that as me just saying it because we had a Bare Knuckle guy on. That is not the case. I actually am a full-fledged subscriber to the BKFC and everything. So I'm more so excited for the rest of the card and then the potential for BKFC to gain a bigger following with somebody like Paige VanZant. But as for watching Paige fight, when we first talked about this fight, I had alluded to you that basically the person that they have her fighting is essentially not a gimme, but a gimme. And I get it. I'm way more excited for Johnny Bedford in the co-main spot defending his title. I'm way more excited for that fight. Honestly.
Here's the question, though. Do you think she's going to be able to take a punch in Bare Knuckle?
Yes, I do, because I think they're going to, especially in the first couple fights, they're going to want to get some value off that star, if you know what I mean. So I don't think they're going to set her up.
Sure, but that doesn't mean she'll be able to take the punch.
But if they set her up. Okay, so it's not wrestling in the fact that you can say who wins and who loses, but you can say who's more than likely going to win and who's more than likely going to lose. And I think that's what they're going to do.
And I'm not saying they gave her the toughest.
With the first like 3+ matches, I think that's what it's going to be. And then I think maybe we'll see somebody else who was maybe a known MMA fighter or a boxer or something like that make their way over. And then I feel like that's when you'll really see if Paige has got those hands and Bare Knuckle. But honestly,
all you guys who are jumping in the stream, we're talking about Paige VanZant's debut for Bare Knuckle FC that's going down February 6th. We're talking about hey, I am a red-blooded single American, okay? I got no problem with seeing Paige VanZant in that ring. Hell, if you look, if I were to turn my camera, you would see I still have the picture that Paige signed when we met her at the UFC in Chicago over here on the wall.
Yep.
But that being said, I think this was 110% a money grab by Bare Knuckle FC. They were hoping they were going to get the fine-ass Paige VanZant, mm-hmm. and they were hoping that her star power coming from the UFC and her beautiful looks were going to help bring eyes to him. And hey, now, it was a smart thing for you to do, Bare Knuckle FC. But
Do you think Paige's name still holds enough value in fight stock, I guess you could say, that it'll actually – because my only issue is
– oh, it'll move the needle, bro. It'll move the needle, and here's why.
But my issue is she enough to sell pay-per-views? Because they made that event a pay-per-view. It's not just a part of the app. You have to spend money.
Well, you're going to find out. I don't know that I don't know that bringing her on there is going to be such the pay-per-view draw, but I mean, it's definitely going to bring eyes to it.
My point exactly. I think they're kind of shooting for the stars with this and hoping to maybe land on the moon type deal. but I don't think that Paige has got that much star power. I really don't. I think people kind of overestimate because they see like her following and stuff on social media. And a lot of that is because a lot of them fight fans are young, single Americans, like you were just saying, Kyle, and they want, you know, they,
look,
they
bro, this. You might have a woman, but you can't tell me that she ain't fine. Oh, all right. There ain't nothing wrong and with saying that.
And that's why I'm saying it the way I am, is I think that a lot of the following that she has is for that reason, but I don't necessarily think it's enough of a following for
people. It's to a go, warranted reason. To-
yeah. It's not enough for people to go purchase something that's, you know, other than OnlyFans, if she started one, you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, I definitely think she's going to come out getting the W, but we've got another, man, Philly B, this is why I love you, man. Even though you aren't downriver anymore, man, this
keep
is,
them coming.
That's what I'm talking about. See, all right, now's as good a time as any. I'll let the cat out of the bag. Philly B, you got to make sure you're here next week because, well, Stevie Ray from Harlem Heat is supposed to be joining us on the show. So I'm going to need you guys to crank out all those questions. Stevie Ray of Harlem Heat, WWE Hall of Famer, will be here live next week on the show. So make sure you check that out. Philly B's got a good question that it leads into the other part that we have coming out of UFC 257 and a question that maybe you might be good to answer. Now, Corey, we don't got a lot of time left, so I only want you to pick a couple on this one. But the question is, he says he's trying to get back interested in UFC again. Who are some interesting up-and-coming fighters that he should check out?
Ooh, it honestly, it depends on what your style of MMA is.
How about
is.
This? I mean, name one male, one female, and one up-and-comer that people wouldn't think about.
That they wouldn't think about? Okay,
one name outside the box.
On the male side, I think that your number one fighter to check out right now, because he's on such a skyrocket, and he, to jump back to what you were saying about an entertainment factor, Kevin Holland, my boy, he was on a fucking streak last year, man. He really went out there and did it. He killed it on the mic. He killed it in interviews. That's somebody to really watch out for. On the female side, that's very interesting because, like, it depends on if you're more, like, like, I love to, like, I follow, like, Megan Anderson. I'm a huge fan of Megan Anderson because she does a lot of, like, out-of-the-cage stuff. Now, if you're talking, like, in the cage, she might not be the best person to watch, honestly. She doesn't get in there but once every year and a half, and some of the fights just aren't that entertaining. So it's kind of like what your taste is. I feel like anyone in the 115 division would be somebody to really keep an eye on. I know I'm kind of taking a cop out, I guess you could say, on that one. But seriously, man, every girl in that 115, like top 10, they all bring the heat. And it seems like every matchup they do in there is just interesting matchup after interesting matchup, and they always seem to live up to the expectation.
All right, Philly B.
As for my unexpected would probably be, give me 2 minutes. Let me think about that. Go ahead and make your other point, Kyle.
All right. Well, I'll name a few real quick because, like I said, we're running short on time. But I were to name a few for you quick right off the top of my head. If we're talking about on the female end of things, fighters that maybe you wouldn't know, I think one right off the rip for you to look at, he mentioned 115, but I think, Zhang Weili, or however, the 125 pounds.
Weili Zhang.
You need to check her out and check out the banger of a war that she had for the title against Joanna. Yeah. So that would be my pick as far as female fighters. Yeah. Or if we're going to go an outside pick on female fighters, I'm going to say Angela Hill.
I can't argue that one either.
If we're talking about male fighters, Miles Jury, but that's a little biased, but you need to check out, check out any of the guys that we've had here on Knockouts and Three Counts. If you guys are checking this out, make sure you hit that subscribe button because you never know.
Josh Friend fighting Friday.
That's what I'm talking about. Past guest of the show, Josh Frem. That's the name for you to check out. That's my outside pick for you, Philly B. When we get off this, go out and check out the interview that we did with Josh Frem. He was the LFA 2020 Fighter of the Year. He's going to be fighting this Friday on UFC Fight Pass. Corey and I will be watching it. We'll be plugging it on our social medias with all that as well. On the male side, a name for you to watch. I'll throw out two because you won't know this guy because you don't watch MMA that much. Kevin Holland's going to be my breakout star. Michael Chandler's the guy you need to watch that you're probably not going to know about off the top of your head. And a guy that's got a name for you to watch that's always fun to watch. Go watch Dustin Poirier or go watch Max Holloway. There you go. There's my picks for that stuff. I feel you can't go wrong.
My off the wall pick real quick while we're still on the matter. Go check out my man, Hot Balls, Derek Lewis. You want to talk about some entertaining fights. You want to talk about some entertaining fights, boy. Those are it. Everything except for the Ngannou fight. Just skip over that. Act like it didn't happen. But other than that, every single fight that man gets in and is entertaining is all hell.
Hey, man. Last but not least, Jake Paul.
Ooh, I knew you were going to bring it up. I knew it.
Jake Paul versus Ben Askren.
How does it play out, Kyle? How does it play out?
Oh, dude. So, and this will lead into the question I'll pose you to end the show. I think, so from what I'm hearing, and this is straight out of Ben Askren's mouth, you can watch the interview with Ariel Helwani to see it quoted. Yep. Ben Askren was the number two pick for this. That was not who Jake Paul wanted to fight. Jake Paul wanted to fight Dylan Donis. Dylan Donis didn't want that smoke after he watched Nate Robinson take that nap. So Ben Askren, to his credit, stepped up. Here's the thing. If Ben Askren gets knocked the fuck out, is it bad for MMA? Or is that bad for Ben Askren?
A little bit. It's a little bit bad for MMA. It's a lot of bit bad for Ben Askren. Now, what?
Because you know he's still under contract with the UFC, right?
Yeah, but he's also retired, and I don't see him making it.
UFC,
play
he said in that interview that the UFC reached out to him, and they had talked multiple times about him taking this fight.
Yeah, about him taking this fight, but not a fight inside the octagon. I think that's
whatever. But they're still watching what he's doing.
Okay, agreed. But I don't.
Whatever.
All right.
Like,
so
they told him you have full rights. Like they're not taking any of the money, as where like yeah, in the McGregor versus Mayweather. I know that. I'm telling the fans, motherfucker. God dang. I was just trying to illustrate that in the Mayweather versus McGregor fight, UFC is getting a big chunk of money out of that. Where in this one, UFC doesn't even care really that Ben's doing it. I do feel like there was kind of a little bit of a unspoken, you better not get your ass whooped.
Well, there's got to be, right? I mean, realistically, there's got to be, right? But you watched that same interview I did, right, with Ariel and Ben. And Ben made a very, very credible point. He's been in there with way more legitimate strikers, way more. Now, granted, he had the ability in all of those fights to take it to his realm. That's where I think the big difference is going to lie.
And his boxing never got better for somebody that was fighting at such a high level and training with a team like Rufus Sport. Mm-hmm. And you never got better boxing or at least kickboxing.
Well, one thing I watched in an interview with Paul Felder, this was when the fight was originally getting rumored a couple months back. And he had came out in an interview and said that basically Ben had never trained striking, like never. So in his eyes, if Ben was to take like 6 months of serious boxing training, he would seriously.
But he doesn't have 6 months.
That fight was originally
got about 80 days.
That fight was originally rumored about 3 months ago, though. So
yeah, but how do we know that Ben started training right away?
We don't. We don't. And even at that, all right. So to give my quick thoughts on the way,
let me go ahead.
To give my quick thoughts on the way that the fight's going to go, I think that Ben Askren's going to get touched. I don't think he's going to get hit hard enough to get knocked out. And I think he's going to wear him into the later rounds and probably lose on decision, honestly. I think Ben Askren's probably going to lose on decision, but I don't think he's going to get hit hard enough to get knocked out. That's my thoughts on it.
So, first of all, Jake Paul, you're a punk. Because you won't fight somebody who's actually a boxer. Yeah, you. Now, first of all, shout out to you, and here's why. Because even though I feel like you picked the worst boxer in MMA that you could have ever picked to do this with, you still, if you knock Ben Askren out, can say you knocked out a UFC fighter and a good UFC fighter.
Not only a UFC fighter. A former champion and MMA one of the world top, champion. Yeah, and one of the top organizations. He's not just
So I understand the why of it, but I still feel like he won't step in there with somebody who can really box. Here's the thing. For me, God, it's hard for me to even say. See, Philly B agrees. He says Jake Paul's a punk.
Yeah.
Look, this is hard for me to say it because I'm not even really confident in Ben Askren's boxing skills, but I could really.
That's where
Jake Paul has done enough that I could honestly see him knocking him out. But if I'm picking who I think is going to win the fight or how I think this fight should go, Jake Paul is going to try to knock his head off in the first two rounds. Mm-hmm. If Ben Askren makes it out of the first two rounds and take his punch, Ben Askren might get his first knockout he's ever had.
He's got some TKO finishes off the ground, but no standing knockout. So.
Right. This might be the first knockout he's ever gotten because I'm still not convinced that Jake Paul can take a punch.
Yeah. Defense is the last
Nate
thing you
never
learn.
Hit him. Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. Now, Jake has been doing 2 years of real boxing training, so we're going to see, if that's really helping him. I don't know, man. Like I said, it's real interesting. I know I want to see the fight, but I don't think it's garnering the same kind of buzz, obviously, that the Mike Tyson-Roy Jones thing happened.
No, not even close.
I'm all for seeing these things from time to time, but I hope this isn't a trend of, what things are to come, that, we're going to see all these sideshow fights and all this whatever you want to call it, the sideshow thing.
See, I'm okay with it as long as it stays just that. As long as it stays just the sideshow event, like it stays its own promotion, it stays its own this, that, and the other. I'm fine with that.
See, like, but I feel like if you have too many MMA guys going in there and one of them eventually gets caught and loses, that's bad for the sport, dude.
Okay, but what if you get a B-level MMA fighter with a B-level boxer, that both have names, and then you get that matchup in there. And then, it could be fun. You could get a lot of, the celebrity
boxing. It could
boxing
be fun, but I'm saying I don't want to just see matchups for the sake of matchups. Make matchups that people actually want to see, and I'm all for it. But with that being said, we're at the end of our time for this Tuesday, but as I just got through telling you, you gotta come back this Thursday. We're gonna be live 7 p.m. As you guys know, the Royal Rumble is going on this weekend. So tweet us at KL3CPod. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Let us know who you think is gonna win the Royal Rumble and who you think might be coming back. Make sure you check it out because we're gonna be joined by the homies from Breaking Down the Ring. And as I said, make sure you're back here next Tuesday at 9 p.m. as we are joined by the other half of Harlem Heat, Stevie Ray. So until next time, and in the in-between time, peace.